God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 4. Our position in the kingdom of God is one of rest because of the finished works of Jesus Christ. And when we think of it in terms of that, it's great to take a look at healing from where our position rests. A little over a month ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, or Easter in our fellowships, and at our homes and among our families, we took part in communion. And it's always a time to reflect, a time to remember the accomplishments of our Lord's broken body for our healing and his shed blood for our remission of sins. And as I've shared, when the purpose in the communion is that we bring to remembrance Jesus Christ to the end that we digest it and it becomes a very part of us. That's why there's a real thing about the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup, because it takes us to digestion. And when we digest it, it becomes a very part of us. We want this knowledge and this understanding of God's word and God's willingness, God's kindness, God's love to be digested to the end that it becomes a very part of our lives. It is a great lesson on digesting the word of God until it becomes a very part of me or a very part of you. As Job declared in Job 23:12, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. We're all interested in digesting food, but he was concerned with digesting the word that he declared was more than his necessary food. Thy words were found, as Jeremiah said and proclaimed, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were unto me, the word was unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Ezekiel was to take the scroll and eat it. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll or a scroll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. In the temptations of our Lord Jesus Christ, the devil proposed that Jesus command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We consider our physical diet, as a matter of fact, our concerns for healthful eating is an industry unto itself. It's a multi-billion dollar or close to trillion dollar industry. We are concerned with what we ingest, and therefore we should be concerned with what we digest, and that's just from a literal eating point of view. We read all about the latest diets and fads based upon the findings of man. Someone writes a book, the new so-and-so diet, the Mississippi mud diet or something else. And we read these things and we decide, well, maybe I ought to start eating mud because apparently it's very good for us. And so we start eating, or we avoid eating this or that according to the latest research that inevitably reverses itself several years later. And what we were avoiding to eat, we are told we need to eat lots of it right now. Or what we were eating, we're told don't eat that anymore. And so we change our diet and move these things and banish from our diets various different things. We've been swayed by well-meaning spokespersons on how to bulk up or how to slim down as they inflate and deflate. There's Deflategate. before our eyes right on television. You know, we see so-and-so and she weighed 100 and so many pounds and she lost 50 pounds and now she's this little girl. Or we see this guy on there who's as skinny as a rail and he's bulked up now and he's enormous. And we think, my gosh, I need to follow that spokesman's advice or that spokeswoman's advice. When the scriptures have told us the way to health and the way to healing for thousands of years, and it has not changed. There has not been one revision in the diet that the Word speaks of over thousands of years. You realize that? There's not been an update, a revision, or a change. You would think that what is missing from our diets was clearly stated by Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Or, as Job, it is my necessary food. Or as Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Or as Ezekiel said, it was in my mouth for sweetness. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us a tremendous truth. We'll start in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, I think so many times what we've read in the scriptures or we've heard in a manifestation, look neither to the left hand or to the right. Don't look at the symptoms or even the facts, but to the truth. That's where we need to keep our hearts and our minds. We get a report from the doctor. It may be factual. He shows us, say, an x-ray. And he says, this here is something wrong with your body. It's not normal. Anyone who has been trained in reading x-rays will look at that same x-ray and say pretty much the same thing. It's a fact. But the truth is, his word here, verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them. And what's the next word?
Health
to all their flesh. How much of their flesh? All of it. All of it. Every cell, every molecule, every atom, it is health to their flesh. Now, that's more important to us in this particular point of eternity where we are in the kingdom of God, which takes up all of eternity, because right now we have a fleshly body. We will put on a spiritual perfect body, but in the meantime, we would like to maintain our flesh, and certainly God would like for us to maintain that flesh, for it is the carrying case, so to speak, of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as I've shared, different vessels are used for different commodities or products or produce or whatever you want to hold in it. Sometimes it's for security, sometimes it's for other things. But you wouldn't think of taking bacon grease and pouring it in the atomizer for your fragrance. You want something that just would give that olfactory essence in just the right amount. And so we take care and we invest in different vessels to carry different things. Do you think that God, who says our bodies are as David said, are fearfully and awesomely made, that God would take the point to make sure that this earthen vessel is the best possible vessel to contain Christ in you, then what do you think he thinks of this body of ours and its maintenance and how it would function? That is certainly on his list, if not at the top. You see, all healing begins at the Word of God. Look at the 107th Psalm. Psalm 107. And I thought this would be a good time, having looked at and gaining a perspective from an eternal point of view, to look at health and healing in this particular part of life. And in the 107th Psalm, verse 20, it tells us, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." When I think of a ministry of God, every ministry needs to be a ministry of healing and deliverance. Everyone, if they are going to deal with the Word of God, because the purpose, he says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Isn't that marvelous? And certainly as we work it. The Fenton translation reads, "He sent his word and it," meaning the word, "healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Well, whose word is it? It's God's word. So what do you think is God's will for our physical well-being? Well, we should be healed and delivered from our destructions. And what he has sent is the word. The reason healing begins at the word of God is because the scriptures move us from God can to God will, and God does. This word in the scriptures lets us know and clearly declares God's will. He made man to be a little lower than himself and has crowned him with glory and honor. When we go to the scriptures and we believe the word, we close the door on doubts and we enter the room of healing. The doctor is in now. If it's to be thy will, turns the man of faith to the man of wish. The word is the declaration of God's will. It tells us what his will is. And it very clearly states to us that it is health and healing for this vessel. He clearly states it is life or medicine to all our flesh. It is not what we wish it to be or might be for us. It is for us and more than a heart could wish. My heart can dream up a lot of different things, but God's word so far exceeds my heart that I no longer even trust in my own heart. I trust in the word of God because his love for me is so great. He made me a little lower than himself and crowned me with glory and honor. His will is that if I attend to his words, if I turn my ears to them and I eat them and I digest them, they are health to all my flesh. I may skip lunch. I may decide not to have breakfast. I may work past dinner, but I will not avoid the Word of God because it is health to all my flesh. You see, Ephesians 3:20. Let's go to the great book of Ephesians. And this wonderful scripture, verse 20, it tells us, "Now unto him, God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Well, I know his power works in me because I speak in tongues. I know I have the gift of Holy Spirit. I know it is resident within me, and yet he can do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Why not turn my ears to him? Why not turn my heart to him and digest the truth that he has given me and bring health to all my flesh? So you say, "Larry, I understand that, but would he do that for me?" Yes, even you. He made man to be a little lower than himself. And women. If you are wondering if he would do that for you, you really have not yet digested the bread of life, what Jesus came for, what he accomplished, and what he has done for us. Let's go to 1 Peter. And in light of this positioning that he has for mankind, the position that he has for man from that heavenly perspective, we ought to, and I'd like to, spend a few weeks now sharing more and more on the great truths regarding health and healing for your benefit and your blessing, because I desire that you digest those truths because they are health to all your flesh. Well, what about my mind? Well, the scriptures say God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what do you think his desire for your mind is and the healing of your mental faculties? There is nothing he has left out when it comes to the healing and strengthening of his beloved. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." It is a finished reality. Take a big bite of this. Chew on it for a while, digest it, and enjoy the benefit of it. You know, I was out doing a delivery with one of our drivers at Lowe's, and we were having a conversation about health, and I mentioned this scripture to him. I forgot what we were talking about, but I said, you know, by his stripes, I was healed. And he said, "Well, you know, that's kind of a cavalier attitude toward health." And I said, "No, that's a Calvary attitude toward health. By his stripes I was healed, who his own body bare our sins on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." That's not a cavalier attitude. It's a Calvary attitude, and we ought to keep it and have it. See, swallow it down. Digest this word of God. Let it become a very part of your life. Let it become a part of you, just like physical food becomes a part of you when you digest it. Let this word of God become a part of you. Digest it, because by his stripes I was healed. Beautiful. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, because this is scriptures regarding the communion and why we keep it in remembrance and why there are two parts of it, the bread and the cup, or the contents of the cup, that we are to digest what they represent in what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. It's a symbolic, but there is a literal digestion. That bread actually becomes a part of your body. But it is to digest the truth behind it, so that we know what we have and it becomes a very part of our being. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you can read the parts regarding the communion, but I wanted to read this part for you in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And when you eat it or you drink it, what happens to it? You digest it and it becomes a very part of you. You're never going to go back in there and say, oh yeah, there's that piece of bread. There it is. I see that. Oh, yeah, there's the semolina. Okay. It's not, because it is now, once you have digested it, it is now a part of you. They will only find Larry in there. Or Larry's blood or whatever it all gets mixed up with, but that's something. Then verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I want to share with you, the word unworthily means without a knowledge. Without a knowledge. In other words, if you don't know what the bread is for, if you don't know what the cup is for, if you do not know what Jesus Christ accomplished, can it become a part of you? No. Because you're doing it without knowledge. You don't receive the benefit of it. It does not become a part of the repertoire of the believing of your heart. You want the knowledge of the scriptures, and you need to digest it so that it becomes a very part of you, and as I say, a part of the very repertoire of your believing heart. So if you do it without knowledge, you eat and drink damnation to himself. The word damnation, excuse me, is the word judgment. And what you are judging is yourself. Like the believing or the unbelieving Jews in Acts 13, and you can look it up, it's in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 46, when Paul and Barnabas went there and shared the word with them, they rejected the word. He told them that you're saying you're considering yourself unworthy of those things that are eternal. You're judging yourself unworthy of eternal life. We are judging ourselves, if we don't partake of it with knowledge, we are judging ourselves to be unworthy of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us in this life regarding health. Remember, by his stripes ye were healed. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus Christ was the word in the flesh, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So what you're allowing without knowledge, you're allowing yourself to bypass what he has actually accomplished for us. You haven't made it a very part of you. And so when they eat or drink and partake of the communion in remembrance of him, and they have no knowledge of what he really accomplished for them, then they are considering themselves and making a judgment of yourself that you are not worthy of eternal life, when all along God put you in the position a little lower than himself and crowned you with glory and honor. That's how he has seen you from the start. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die prematurely. You really haven't digested the bread of life, what Jesus came for. Remember your position in his kingdom from Psalm 8. If we cannot take God at his word, if we cannot take God at the scriptures, then there really is no purpose for believing faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, the Gospel of Matthew. Because if it does not become a very part of our believing heart, then we are missing the condition. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer," what's the next word? "Believing, ye shall receive." Well, is not healing part of all things? Is not healing part of the will of God? Is not being delivered from your destructions, even physically, is that not part of all things? Is that not also part of the word of God? Be delivered from all things. That's why I say every ministry of the word of God is a ministry of healing and deliverance. You see, it's believing ye shall. Believing ye shall have it. Ye shall, or ye might, would make it a possibility. If I said you could, that makes it a possibility. But that's the realm of odds makers. You might. You could. But it doesn't say that. It says what? Ye shall. That denotes a determination that is settled. It is a determination that is settled. It is no longer conditional because the condition has been met. Believing ye shall. And what brings us to believing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's that simple. You can believe the word of God. You can trust the will of God. And when you do, ye shall have what the will of God says is there for you. It's an experiment. When you do an experiment and the end is known, it puts it in the category of ye shall. Believing begins where the word of God is known. I am the Lord that healeth thee, for instance. You know that. Therefore, you can believe that. And the end result is, ye shall be healed. Science that we so revere uses the term of virtual certainty. That is where the results are greater than 95% chance of being true. And we accept science. We call it settled science. But it's not settled at all, because they are talking in terms of a virtual certainty. And it is 95% true. That means 4.9% there's a chance of it being false. There is the opportunity in 4.9% at the best of our science that it will result or will fail. Virtual reality is not where we live. The word is health to all your flesh, 100% of it. This is pure, and this comes from pure, unadulterated truth. John 17, Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus is praying, and he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It is 100% unadulterated truth. The word is not a possibility. It is an absolute certainty, not a virtual certainty, but an absolute certainty. What the word says was, what the word says is, what the word says will be, because God sees it all from beginning to end, and he has not made a mistake in any part. It is not only a reality now and a certainty, but it is also inevitable from the terms of man's perspective. From the terms of God's perspective, it is. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It always is, right now. So is healing a part of God's will? Absolutely. And his desire is that we listen to his word and we digest that word, allow it to become a very part of us, because it is health to all of our flesh. Let's explore health and healing from the kingdom of God's perspective, where our position rests. God bless you.